I'm not sure which companies don't need good IT. I know that we do. I know every company that I've ever worked with eventually at some point has an IT problem, and they always lean on the IT genius in the office who is almost certainly has absolutely no credentials or qualifications for that task. Just the unfortunate burden of fielding everyone's requests and problems that they're having with all things IT. Technoria is as a point of our events, we actually have a trouble with IT. So what I have decided to do is bring in Chris Kerpakis, the EVP of Business Development from IT Savvy, to come help us kind of figure out what we're going to do with our IT and how companies can solve this IT problem that exists across basically everywhere, right? So welcome to the show, Chris. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks a lot, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I guess, first off, IT Savvy, it's pretty obvious what you guys do. You're pretty pretty good with IT, I take it.
Right.
Tell us a little bit of the story of what IT Savvy is and how it came to be.
So where I were, a Chicago startup, like a lot of the companies in Technori, started 12 years ago, based out of Addison, still is our headquarters. We've got an office down here in the Loop. We saw a need, a desire to start our own company to fulfill the needs of potential clients and prospects out there in their IT.
What would you say is the spot where IT Savvy as a whole is able? I guess that's the wrong way to phrase this. If you're a normal company, I look at companies that are probably say 10 million and up, so they're they've kind of got their thing rolling and they're in that kind of growth mode. What is the biggest problem that you guys hear from people as far as their IT, the needs you're trying to serve?
Businesses today rely so much more on IT than they did 10, 15 years ago. And there's so much more in IT than just a computer and a server.
Yep.
There's a lot of moving parts. And there is no way a company that you said $10 million, maybe they do have a full-time IT manager.
Yeah.
He or she cannot know everything about everything and be able to run their business, you know, efficiently. There's a lot of pieces out there that people need expertise in, and that's where we come into play with. We've got over 60 engineers on staff that, you know, maybe your guy really knows X, Y, and Z very well but needs help with A, B, and C. We can fill those gaps.
Well, you know, it's a good point you made up. I mean, I think the problem is that those in IT probably know what, like, the scope of work and the things that they're doing, but those of us who have no idea look at that IT person as like our savior, and then we just assume like, oh, that's our IT guy or girl. I don't even know. I mean, they probably aren't even an IT person. They just were assigned this role. Mm-hmm. And I ask them every single thing imaginable, from cell phone problems all the way down to, you know, turn the light on. And they, you know, how could they possibly know all these things and cover it? And at the end of the day, if you only have, depending on the size of your company, well, even if it's a small, tiny business, one person can't possibly serve the needs 24/7 of in technology across the platform of all of your employees. It's just impossible. You can't be, you know, what does it say, jack of all trades, master of none. You know, that's not ideal. So an IT savvy type company is a master of all trades.
Absolutely. So we were able to help our clients, as you mentioned, 24/7 now. We had just finished building out, spending over seven figures on a NOC. So now we're able to help our clients 24/7. Because, again, the startup companies, they should be focused on their business. They should not be worried about whether their servers are up and running, the backups are happening. They're in that time of their business where they need to focus on it. They cannot worry about it. So that's where we come in and help them and fill those gaps where they can focus on growing their business, whatever that might be, and we can take control of their IT and make sure they're up and running 24/7.
I mean, that's incredibly helpful, because the reality is I don't even know where to start. I don't feel like people understand, like, when you do have this problem, I don't think they know where to go for the help. I don't think that if they don't have an in-house person, how does a business in a time of need, they're panicked, the service went down, the website crashed, whatever it is, the app, whatever's going on, who do you call? Like, I don't even know where you go. I feel like if a company, that is such a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. Years ago, like even 7 years ago when I was working in real estate, we would have the servers were crashing constantly, right? And we had a guy, an IT guy, we called, his name was Mike, and he ran his own personal IT company. It was tiny, he handled like, I don't know, 5-6 accounts or something. And we could afford that, and this is just 5-6 years ago. We could afford to be like, oh, well, you know, I guess it's a paper day today. And we'd go ahead and email Mike or call him or whatever and say, hey, Mike, you know, IT's, you know, stuff's down. And he'll come in, you know, tomorrow or, you know, the next day. And we didn't care about it then. It wasn't that, you know, that important to us. If that happened to you today and I didn't have the websites up and the emails crashed for a day, I would miss out on 100 emails. I have no idea what the ramifications would be. How long is it going to take you to catch up? Tomorrow is another 100 email day. Mm-hmm. I think that companies need to realize this is such a crucial thing to not have a company already set up, but like already in-house and have them geared you up, power you up, and be on the call already is a catastrophic error.
Absolutely. You know, there's a, like you brought up the reactive type IT provider. That's old school. I mean, now you need to have somebody like ourselves at IT Savvy being proactive, monitoring your equipment 24/7, watching it. So as soon as there's a little blip, we have our engineers on staff ready to take care of it. And it's not, boom, it goes down overnight. What time do they open up at IT Savvy? Yeah. No, we're there.
We're calling you, telling you that it went down.
Exactly.
What do you think is, so like, obviously, you know, all these companies are working on all kinds of new technology. So how are you guys staying up with it? What are the technologies you guys are bringing to the table with some of these companies to help sort of position IT Savvy as, like, obviously a market leader?
Right. So one we sort of talked about a few times already, Savvy Guard, which is our branded network managed service. That's probably the key piece to, you know, all startups and even medium-sized companies and those that are not in the startup mode anymore. Again, as we talked about, filling those gaps where maybe they have a part-time or a couple full-time IT people. They're not going to know everything. They're going to need those help. So Savvy Guard helps fill those gaps, whether it's managing their backups overnight, monitoring their firewalls, watching all their PCs, making sure all the updates from when Microsoft is done and the antiviruses are taken care of. We also help a lot with our clients in their print environment, which we call Savvy Print, our managed print service. Very important, again, people, even IT people, they don't want to deal with printers. They've got so much more on their plate today, as do the business owner, whoever. The last thing you want to do is get their hands on a printer.
You just said printer and the hair on my neck just stood up. I can't even. Oh,
we've all been there. We get the ink all over our hands. We're washing it off for 3 days. Again, with our guys, we're another monitoring service. We're monitoring it 24/7. If there's an error, a break, we're getting the alert via electronic from your printer to our staff, and they're coming out and fixing it for them.
That's fantastic. I mean, I guess I'd start to kind of wheel you into this circle to give people a little more context. I mean, Technori used to be, we used to have someone who powered the events. We used to have the ability to tweet and text and so forth during events, which is obviously key, right? Everyone wants to be interactive. As time changed, we went to Chase Auditorium. Chase Auditorium is a very high security place. What do you recommend for companies that are on the go? How do you handle event companies? And you know, like, that's obviously a very popular thing now, is the ability to do everything mobily. Business forces, services are running out all over the place. What do you guys do, or how would you recommend companies to make sure that they can keep the infrastructure, their technology infrastructure in place as they kind of expand and go out of the normal office, that, you know, in collaboratives and things?
Scott, this touches on one of the big buzzwords we're all here right now, mobile device management. Yep. And a lot of our clients are coming to it. We just had a call with a big company here in Chicago yesterday. It's a name everybody knows, but they are struggling with it. And that's a place where we can help our clients and our prospects out there with mobile device management, because everybody's on the go now. They're connected with their iPads, their tablets, their laptops, their phones, and they need a good control over that and making sure those things are not only just staying secure, but also being updated, and so that when they're at an event, those things are still up and running and they're not, you know, taking a dive.
Yeah. Oh, it's literally critical. I mean, for some of these forces that are out there, imagine if you have your Salesforce out or you're running an event and the event is going to have, you know, credit card processing and all kinds of different things that take place, that essentially if my IT goes down here, if my mobile platform crashes while I'm at this event, it's incalculable how much money I lost, because I didn't bring in any revenue and I just poured a ton of money into this event. So it's obviously a major need. One of the other things I'd ask is, what are sort of the managed IT service platforms you guys do? What other stuff do you guys do to help with the training and the education behind IT?
So we also are a big player with unified communications, the phone systems out there. We've been doing that now since 2005, when we started with a voice over IP provider. We've added to that via acquisitions and our ongoing trainings of our engineers. So we're able to help our clients with their unified communications platforms, whether it be hosted in the cloud or on-prem.
So I guess for someone who doesn't understand the cloud thing, I think one of the big fears that businesses I talk to is security, right? So what is, again, from an educational standpoint, from an actual IT providing standpoint, how do you guys, I guess, what do you see when companies call you? I mean, I don't know what your target company is necessarily, but when they call you and they're not sure about whether they should go cloud or how they're going to protect it or anything like that, how do you guys field that?
I guess there's a lot of moving parts in the cloud.
Of course,
that's the tough part. When, you know, I think we all see it on TV, the cloud this, the cloud that. there's a lot of moving parts to it. So yeah. depending on what the client wants to do, you know, one of the standard things is backup.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these companies today, they have still a broom closet that acts as their computer room or their server yeah. room, and they're backing up to a tape, and somebody's taking, making sure they're taking it with them every day. That's still going on out there. So a lot of the, we're taking those initial calls or about backup.
So what you're saying is there's still a lot of market growth for IT savvy.
Absolutely.
Plenty of new customers out
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we were there ourselves. I mean, yeah. we've grown ourselves through over the years. When we start off, it was literally an old broom closet, you know, one server, little data tape. You know,
very organized, though.
Very organized. We took it home every Friday or every week, every day and on Fridays. So, but again, you have to grow. And, you know, like I said, now we've got two data centers and we're replicating back and forth between them. And our clients are doing the same thing now.
How would you say you've been able to grow along with the market and the clients? We talked about the you know, you were a startup company.
Right.
Now you guys have, you know, become, I would say, a very successful, still in growth mode, but I mean, you guys are doing a very good job. Your clients, have you had many clients that you've taken along that same journey? They were your first client, and now they're 20 employees, and they're 50 employees, and they're 100 employees. And
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think part, you know, when I was thinking about this too, when I was, before I came in to talk to you about startups and what, you know, the big thing that I think that helped us grow, I've seen, is that we were all sort of had our own strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that was key in our growth and where we've been able to capitalize on each other. My partners and I, you know, someone's very strong in finance, technology operations. Sure. You know, there wasn't three leaders who all knew sales real well.
Yeah.
It was really helped us to help us grow. And, you know, with our, you know, so over time, our clients have grown with us.
You know, the funny thing about this is, or at least that I find interesting, is you look at how businesses, particularly startups, but I mean, it's really every business. We joke about it all the time with these business companies that they're very good at looking at their business, but not like inside their business. They don't fix the problems that are internal. They're just so focused on like, get that next sales call, get that next deal, get that next product out, get it out, get it out. And they don't pay attention to internal. How companies like IT Savvy and even our other sponsor, Insperity, and like the HR is taking, I feel like the lesson that I would say has been learned that you can't, you can only tell these companies so many times you need to focus on your own internal management and operations, but at the end of the day, they don't. Like they just don't. And I think what's cool is we're seeing a curve of companies like IT Savvy come in and just say, listen, we know you're not going to do it, so we'll do it. You handle these things so that they can focus on what they should be focusing on, but ultimately, let's be honest, it's what they're going to focus on anyway. All these things happen, and honestly, I've seen businesses literally go out of business because of poor management of these things. There was a stat that came out the other day on, I don't know if it was on Bloomberg or what it did across the Twitter wire, that 38% of people who visit a website, particularly with the interest of a business acquisition, if there's any bugs, any blips, whether it's even a typo, but like if it's anything goes down or is wonky, they will never come back to that website. 38%.
Wow.
That's a massive number of your potential customers who, if you have something missing in your piece, so it's a phone call, it drops, it does just anything, that they will never come back to you as a client. So
never have a chance to get a second first impression.
Exactly, you don't. So my recommendation is that you take care of this and get guys like you, IT Savvy, to come in there and actually, you know, at the very minimum, find out what's going on here and what you can do, you know.
Absolutely.
So very, very cool stuff. I guess my last thing for you I'd ask is, what do you think is on the horizon? What is going to be the next thing for IT Savvy? Where are you guys going?
We're heavily focused right now on key partnerships with other corporations. We just signed up with the Chicago Fire here, the MLS team, to be their lead, their official IT solution provider.
Yep.
So we're looking to continue to grow our business here in the Chicagoland area and focus on working with companies in different ways and growing our business here.
I'm sure one of your key employees had nothing to do with the interest in soccer. There's nobody out there who likes soccer.
I'm still learning how to spell soccer, so he's brought me along quite well.
FUTBOL is what I'm told. The football. That's what I'm told it is. But this is awesome, man. I can't tell you how much I appreciate everything you guys have done for Technoria and are getting launched. IT Savvy is a sponsor, and they are a wonderful sponsor at that. Chris, thank you so much for coming in the studio today.
Super. Thanks a lot for the time, Scott.
Of course. You can watch this episode and more on Advisor TV. You can stream us on the WGN Plus app or download each one of these Technoria episodes on iTunes. Please stay connected and follow us on Twitter at Technoria. And follow me on Twitter at Katun, KITUN. Boom, that's a wrap.